Happy Easter morning. As we are gathered here to worship God, let us quiet our hearts and minds in preparation. Now please join me in the call to worship. Christ has been raised from the dead,
the first fruits of those who have died.
For since death came through a human being,
the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being.
For as all die in Adam,
so all will be made alive in Christ.
Please pray with me. God, we thank you for raising Jesus Christ as the firstborn from the dead, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, the Father. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in our first hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. If you have the blue Presbyterian hymnal at home, it's on page 123.
Jesus Christ is risen today, alleluia, our triumphant holy day, alleluia, who did once upon the cross, alleluia,
please join me in the call to confession. God, I sometimes feel like you don't understand what it is to be human.
Christ has died.
Will anything put an end to death as the end?
Christ is risen.
Will it ever happen to the rest of the world?
Christ will come again.
O God, we confess that we sometimes lose sight of Christ's resurrection. The days pass after Easter, and we allow the sad realities of our world to become front and center in our hearts. Forgive us, resurrecting God, and help us to see the world through the lens of the resurrection, not the resurrection through the lens of our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join in a moment of silent prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Apologize. We have been having technical difficulties, first because the software that we're using didn't recognize the microphone because we plugged it in after we opened the software. Anyway, it was a mess. And then it has a mute button and I forgot to unmute it. So we do have audio, I think. We got audio? Good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, since we're reconciled to God and to one another, let us share Christ's peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Since we have been reconciled to God and to one another and shared Christ's peace, let us respond by giving our tithes and offerings.
Christ is born, the victor.
Our first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along using the link above the video, or on your screen. Listen for the Gospel of the Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesus.
He has conquered death, he has conquered death, Jesus.
He is King of kings, he is King of kings, Jesus. He is Lord of lords, he is Lord of lords, Jesus. All the world is his, all the world is his, Jesus. Come and worship him, come and worship him, Jesus. Christ our Lord is risen, Christ our Lord is risen, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Again, the link is above the screen, or you can just follow along on this screen. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Now who will harm you if you're eager to do what is good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, suffering if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, you rose Jesus Christ from the dead, and on this day we celebrate, we ask that you will instill in us some of that resurrection power through the reading and the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start a little different than you might have think on Easter. Could you jump to the next slide, hon? My sermon's called The Harrowing of Hell, so naturally we're starting with a Chuck Norris joke. You guys have heard of that, right? I don't know if you've heard of it. It's sort of a... Chuck Norris is my generation, sort of Paul Bunyan. There's just preposterous stories about him. One of my favorite goes like this. A rattlesnake once bit Chuck Norris, and after 3 days of horrible agony, the rattlesnake died. I love that story, and I mean, obviously it's not true, but I love it because it's connected to a story that is true, because death kills Jesus, and after 3 days, death dies. See? Now you see the connection. Can we jump to the next one? It's related to this line. It's called The Harrowing of Hell. This is one picture. The idea is, and this isn't precisely in the Bible the way a lot of people describe it, but I think there's enough evidence that you can look at it and go, yeah, that seems about right. Next, please. 'Cause if you look at it, Jesus cries with a loud voice in Matthew 27, just a little before that. Next slide. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. There's this story that people have been telling based on these scripture passages since the very early days of the church, that when Jesus dies, he descends into hell, or he descended to the dead, as it says in the creed. That's a couple slides from now. He descends to the dead, and he breaks down the gates of hell, walks in, and takes everybody out. Just empties hell. Next slide, I think. Honey? Next slide. Yeah, I should really get a clicker. Let's see, next one. Christ also suffered... This is our first Peter slide, sorry. Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. This is why I read this passage this morning. Next one. In which he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. Next. Who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark. So you have this little snippet here of Jesus goes to wherever dead people are waiting and goes and preaches the gospel to them. Next. And then we get this amazing piece in Ephesians 4, 7 through 8. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. Next. That's why scripture said, when he climbed to the heights, he captured prisoners, he gave gifts to people. Next. New American Standard. No, that's not right. Yeah, what does it mean that he descended, into the lower parts of the earth? Christ descends into the lower parts of the earth, or to hell, to the place of the dead. Next. And then, if you're patching all this together, you get Revelation 1, 17 to 18. Jesus says, next slide, I was dead, and see, I'm alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. You're starting to see something patching and piecing together. Next, please. 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Next. And the Apostles' Creed says he descended to the dead, or he descended into hell. There's different versions, actually. He just to Inferos, the under, or to Infernos, the hell, as people would say. So at any rate, Jesus is going somewhere where people are lost and trapped, and leading captive a host of captives. Next. Which brings me to one of my favorite Orthodox icons. There's actually quite a few of these, and I wish I'd zoomed this in a little better. This is Jesus. You can see the gates of hell just knocked down on the floor in the shape of a cross in front of him. And if you look real close, I don't know if you can see it, there's like keys under there. And on the right, you see Adam, I think. Is that the right? Or the guy in the white is Adam, and the woman in the red is Eve. And he's gone down there and pulled them up, and with them, all of us. Next one. Again, just busting into hell. And next one more. These are my favorites. Just Jesus just walks into hell and says, "We're done here. You're done. You're just done." I don't know when this shows up in church history. I've tried. There's something called the Gospel of Nicodemus. It was clearly written well past the time when anyone who was around would have been around to describe it. So it's apocryphal implies that it's, I don't know, it's not the right word, but in this story, so I think part of it's from the 3rd century, I don't know, anyway, but they put all these scripture verses together, right, and they've got this story about these people who had died, and they're sitting in the place of the dead, and I read it this week, and it was just blown away. I love it. It's Descendus to Inferno or something like that. Descendus ad Inferno. So it shows this conversation that Jesus is having, or not Jesus, Satan and Hades are having this conversation, the place of the dead. They're having this conversation, and Satan's like, we've got him. We have killed Jesus. And Hades says, now wait a minute, that doesn't seem like the best idea. Remember, he's stolen people from us by healing them and by raising them from the dead. I don't know if this is such a good idea. And then this voice comes that says, lift up your heads, O gates, that the King of Glory may come in. And they're shaking, and Hades sends out Satan and says, you need to get out there and stop him if you can. And it is completely useless, and you've got, you know, King David in there, and he says, you can't, and he says, didn't I prophesy about this? This is what I meant when I said, lift up these gates that the King of Glory may come in. And there's terror and fear in hell, and Jesus walks in. The gates are broken. He has the keys to death and Hades. He walks in and carries out Adam, our first father, and Eve, and everybody, and hauls them up to be with, and hauls them up to heaven. And that, I know you can't fully substantiate all of that with scripture verses. I know there, but there is the core of that story, that little kernel there, that Jesus conquers death. You don't mind if I preach a little, right? Before the resurrection, this is the world we know. People die. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The powerful get more powerful and the powerless get less power. And then Jesus, this, what in the story Satan thinks is a good guy, he preaches the good news to the poor and the powerless, and then the rich and the powerful get him executed. And they execute him in the cruelest way that they know to execute him, not just to kill him, but to set up his corpse as a warning to others to say, this is what happens when you do what Jesus did, when you dare to hope for more. But no, Jesus Christ is risen today. There's a ancient Christian picture, I couldn't find it, a professor of mine referenced it, that Jesus, where Jesus is sort of sitting on a fish hook. Jesus is bait, and he goes down into hell and captures, just wins everything. Jesus dies, and through dying conquers death. He's risen. As the songs earlier said, death is conquered, we're free. Christ has won the victory. what the resurrection of Jesus means is that whatever sad realities you think you know about the world just got upended and burned to the ground because Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Everything sad, as Tolkien said, everything sad is coming untrue. And nothing evil or awful is safe. Every awful bit of bad news on Easter morning started watching its back. Coronavirus, you best watch out because the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is coming for you. Oh, he's got a list and he is checking it twice. Jesus has come to chew bubblegum and kick death's butt, and there is not enough bubblegum left in the universe to stop Jesus from conquering death over and over and over again. Nothing evil is safe. Heartbreak, you better hide because Jesus is coming for you. Sickness, you can't outrun the love of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Hell, Jesus did a holy smackdown bait and switch and snatched the keys and tore the bars away and hauled out a whole host of captives, among them you and me. If you've lost someone, Jesus is coming for them too. Jesus is coming for them. Jesus, when he returns, is bringing everybody that death ever stole to. Everyone that disease swept away. The light shines in the darkness, says John chapter 1, and the darkness can't overcome it. The darkness can't even get close to it. Every relationship that ever broke, every parent couldn't love their kid, every reason for heartbreak and sadness and misery that has ever happened, every broken heart, every piece of your soul lost to despair and cynicism is getting healed. Oh, my friends, Jesus is the opening act. Jesus is the opening act because, as N.T. Wright likes to put it, what happened to Jesus in the resurrection is going to happen to the entire universe. If this story's true, it's not death that gets the last word, but love. If this story's true, it's not death that gets the last word, but love. Love and life. And as one song I love says, I believe all the death there ever was, if you set it next to life, I believe it would barely fill a cup. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that will raise all of us and everyone that we love and every heartbreak, raise everything from the dead and remake the universe in the image of God. God, we thank you for your righteous defeat over sin and death. That Christ is alive and will reign forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in hymn number 108, Christ is Alive. We come to the part of our service where we share our joys and concerns before God and one another. But first, Vicky Bourne, someone's asked me to repeat the mask announcement. If you need a mask, where are we at here? One of our members is making a non-surgical fabric face masks for friends and family. Right now she's at a standstill as she's waiting for elastic to arrive in the mail because it seems like the whole world is making face masks. If you'd like one, please email Linda at the church, fairplanepc@gmail.com or office@fairplanepc.com. They go to the same place. The link is in the bulletin.
Hmm?
Oh. We got one. I think I'm doing that right. Nope, that's upside down. Alright, so thank you to that member who gave us those. Okay, good, we have prayers of joy and concern. Chris Corbett sent me a joy last week, but he sent it just after we'd finished. Again, text your joys or concerns to 269-332-1118. Chris Corbett's sister Debbie retired this past Tuesday, but she's now interim director in the same job for 2 weeks. So, yay. It feels self-serving to read this one. Ernie Lewis sends a joy that I love David's passion. Like I said, seems a little self-serving to read it, but that's what there we go. Let's see here. Waiting for other joys and concerns we have this morning. One of my joys is... I think I was muted when I was talking about this. Someone said they canceled Easter. And I was like, what? How do you cancel Easter? You can't cancel Easter. That's not in the realm of things that you can possibly do. It's like canceling dawn or something. You can't cancel Easter. Easter is the thing that cancels all other cancellations. The government tried to cancel Jesus, and Easter canceled the government's cancellation. Like, you can't do that. So if people are telling you, oh no, the government's canceled Easter, what are we going to do? No, the government can't cancel Easter. No one can cancel Easter. Easter cancels all the bad news that there is. That's it. Waiting for other joys and concerns, but seeing none, let's pray. Oh, Kristen has one.
Hi, everybody. Yes, my baby belly.
Oh, wait, hang on. You're blocked by the...
Let me turn that
here.
Off.
There you go. I have a concern.
What? Just go stand over there.
Okay. There you go. So the concern I have is there's a lot of people who are about to give birth and they're very anxious because of all the hospital things and how they're only allowed to have one support person in the room. And no one can visit the mom and the baby in the hospital and when they're home. So they're feeling anxious about all of that and excited about all that. So just pray for peace and a time of smooth transition as they settle this new life with a newborn. Thank you.
prayers for anxiety for those who may have to give birth in a difficult time and under difficult and complicated and concerning circumstances. I'll check one more time. Nope. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Easter, for your resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and will come to conquer all of sin and death and evil, and has indeed already conquered them. We give you thanks for Chris Corbett's sister Debbie, who retired but is now interim director for a couple weeks. We give you thanks that death, government, nothing can conquer your resurrection power in Jesus Christ. Even if we can't meet in person, ain't nothing gonna undo what you did on Easter Sunday, and nothing will stop that from continuing to ripple forward in time for eternity. God, in your mercy, we pray for all these pregnant women who are having some anxiety, who may have had plans to have a doula or a husband or any kind of birth support in the room, who may no longer be able to have that because of the coronavirus. We pray that you will comfort them and, if possible, make a way to allow them to have the support that they need some way and to share that joy of bringing a new life into the world. God, we pray for all those who are suffering from the coronavirus right now and from all kinds of things that are causing human suffering, but especially this. We pray for those who are losing loved ones, who are unable to have any kind of in-person funeral or in some cases, God, we pray for all these things. Pray that you will hold all of us in your arms as we go through this difficult time together. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in hymn number 122, if you have the Presbyterian hymnal at home. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. Thine is the glory.
Endless is the victory.
Thanks to Chris Corbett for being our chorister a year ago Easter, and Fred Welch for playing the trumpet. We wouldn't have been able to enjoy either of those things if we were still in the doing the church service in our normal sanctuary. So, small gifts. So hold up your hands to receive the blessing. May you receive the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to get through your day and love your neighbor. May you receive the hope of the resurrection this day and every day, and never be held back by the deception and lies that tell you this is just how it is because he is risen. Hallelujah! And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, always. This day forward and forevermore, go in peace. Amen.
Steadfast, strong, and true.